Good morning. This is WCNC Charlotte To Go. Here are your top stories.
Right now, the Anson County Sheriff's Office is searching for a suspect in a child exploitation case. Detectives have 10 warrants for this man, Logan Rushing. If you have any information on his whereabouts, you can call the Sheriff's Office. A suspect now in custody for the deadly shooting of a DoorDash driver in West Charlotte Sunday night. Right now, extradition is underway for 30-year-old Kevin Molina Garcia after he was arrested in Texas. He'll face murder charges in the death of 26-year-old John Martinez. DoorDash released a statement saying, "This is a tragic situation and our thoughts are with the victim's loved ones." The company says it's working with law enforcement. Well, in just a few hours, the man accused of planning a New Year's Eve terror attack in Mint Hill will be back in court.
The appearance comes just days after he was formally indicted by a Charlotte grand jury. WCNC Charlotte's Richard Devane is live outside the courthouse in Uptown this morning as this case moves forward. Richard.
Yes, good morning to you, Lisa. Good morning, Ben. Good Thursday morning, all. Basically, police say this is an important case today because the man that they say was planning that New Year's Eve attack was taken away or was arrested before he could do what they call significant damage. The Department of Justice says 18-year-old Christian Sturtevant attempted to provide material support to ICE. ISIS, a designated for a terrorist organization. He was planning a deadly attack using knives and hammers at a grocery store, as well as a fast food restaurant. Prosecutors say Sturtevant's alleged plan was to harm as many people as possible until he was, unquote, killed by law enforcement. Court documents say the FBI began investigating after Sturtevant communicated online with an undercover law enforcement agent he believed was an ISIS member. During those exchanges, prosecutors say he claimed he would do jihad soon, unquote, and referred to himself as a soldier of the state for ISIS. Federal agents say a search of his Mint Hill home uncovered handwritten attack plans, a list of targets, two butcher's knives, two hammers, and tactical vests, gloves as well.
Regardless of the fact that we showed definitively it wasn't a ballistic vest, even though that's what was claimed, that he did not have the financial means to acquire any type of guns or anything like that. Those are objective facts. He didn't have a Cash App. He didn't have a Zelle. So there was no possibility of him buying guns with those type of things. He had no funds.
And later today, we should find out just how much longer he'll be, if he'll be able to get the chance to be bonded out of jail, or if he'll stay in. If he's convicted of these charges, he'll face a minimum maximum sentence of 20 years in prison. We're outside the federal courthouse in Uptown. Richard Devane, we'll send it back to you.
Richard, thanks for that report. 5:06 now, and this morning, people across Mecklenburg County are waking up with a better idea of what their county sheriff candidates think of current Sheriff Gary McFadden. WSOC-TV hosted a debate between the candidates last night. That includes Antoine Nance, a former Mecklenburg County Detention Center officer, CMPD Sergeant Ricky Robbins, and Rodney Collins, a former chief deputy with Mecklenburg County. All three were asked about the recent allegations against Sheriff McFadden. Here's what they had to say.
Regardless of where you are, or how you conduct your business, it always needs to be professional. It needs to be done with tact. It needs to be done with competence and skill. So the FBI investigation will yield certain results, I'm sure.
People, all they need to do is they need to get the complaint, read it themselves, and understand that this doesn't happen randomly. I know some of the people who actually filed that petition, and these people are very trustworthy. So check it out, read it, and don't ignore the signs.
But I think that we all need to look and see what's going on. We all need to listen to what's going on. We need to make sure that we understand what's going on. And I can tell you for sure that me, in my career, I've never had allegations. So that's something that I don't have to worry about in the future, because the past predicts the future.
You'll remember a petition to have the sheriff removed from office over allegations of misconduct and abuse was recently dismissed. Last night, the sheriff responded, again denying the allegations.
You're talking about something that could have happened, one of the allegations that happened maybe 6 months ago. Why now? We understand that. It's political. It's political savvy at its best. These are their friends. These are their close friends. And so why not challenge what I've done?
Now, this debate comes about a week until the sheriff is scheduled to testify on public safety across Charlotte. The House Oversight Committee expects him and other leaders to address strategy, DEI efforts, and more. The sheriff is set to appear on February 9th. Tomorrow, Mecklenburg County commissioners will continue their budget retreat and debate what goals to prioritize this year. Several topics were covered yesterday, including how to tackle youth violence. Leaders spent about $4.5 million on programs to improve that goal. They want to prevent it, of course. The one target they didn't meet this year, the pretrial court appearance rate. They say meeting this goal helps to reduce detention that's not necessary. All the panelists agreed mental health is the biggest gap right now.
So we know that mental health is a growing challenge in our community that's not only shown in the statistics, but also through the figures that we hear and the stories that we hear from youth in our community that we engage through these experiences.
Now, this is the beginning of the budget discussions. It won't be officially voted on until this summer.
South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster urging lawmakers to continue investing in infrastructure, education, and long-term economic growth. The governor held his final State of the State address last night. He touched on his effort in cutting the income tax and doubled down, saying it could be cut even more.
This year, I have again proposed cutting the personal income tax rate as much as we can, as fast as we can, and as often as we can. And if the General Assembly can find a way to eliminate it altogether, I will sign it the second it arrives on my desk. And that's a promise.
Right after the governor's address, Democratic Representative Jermaine Johnson delivered the party's official response. He said the governor's speech focused on economic indicators that he says don't necessarily reflect everyday reality for families. He pointed to the Republican control of state government for more than two decades, saying results have fallen short in a lot of key areas.
Our state ranks 43rd in education, leaving too many children without the preparation they need to succeed. Our roads and bridges are among the worst in the nation, with unsafe conditions and long delays that affect families, workers, and businesses across the state.
We first brought you this live over on WCNC Plus, our streaming platform. That's the place to be for anything that happens live, breaking news or otherwise. The app is free and available wherever you stream. Well, today marks 1 year since the deadly mid-air collision between a commercial plane and a military helicopter that killed 67 people.
Among the victims were the Charlotte-based flight crew, pilot Jonathan Campos, co-pilot Sam Lilly, and flight attendants Ian Epstein and Denasia Elder. Yesterday, families of the victims came together for a memorial to remember their lives lost. Several lawmakers and officials with the National Transportation Safety Board were also in attendance. Now, later this morning, you'll hear from the daughters of flight attendant Ian Epstein, who say one of the most tragic days came just before one that should have been one of celebrating. It is time to connect the dots. That's when we make the news make sense. If you're someone who naturally stays up late, your body clock may be working against your heart. New research suggests that when your sleep schedule doesn't match your internal rhythm, it could raise some long-term heart health risks. New research shows that people who naturally stay up late may have poorer heart health than early risers. Let's connect the dots. Scientists looked at hundreds of thousands of adults and found that night owls were more likely to have lower overall heart health scores. Over many years, they also had a higher risk of heart attacks and stroke than those with intermediate or early sleep schedules. Experts say this may happen because late sleepers often have poor sleep quality, unhealthy habits, or misaligned body clocks. That body clock, known as the circadian rhythm, helps regulate sleep, metabolism, and heart function. When your internal clock doesn't match your daily routine, it can affect your heart over time. The good news is that night owls can improve heart health by improving their lifestyle habits, like getting regular sleep, eating well, staying active, and avoiding smoking. Remember, staying up late isn't automatically dangerous, but it can raise heart risks if it leads to unhealthy patterns or sleep disruption. And that's connecting the dots.
Here's what's happening across the Carolinas. After 3 days, jurors remain deadlocked in a Raleigh murder trial. Isaiah Ross is charged in the killings of two teens found dead on a path in 2022. Ross testified he acted in self-defense, claiming one teen shot the other and then turned the gun on him. The jury will continue deliberating today. A corrections officer in Richland County facing charges after allegedly using excessive force on an inmate. Deputies say the officer
hit the inmate in the face with his knee, causing a serious cut and knocking him unconscious. The officer was arrested and charged with assault and misconduct. A longtime Irish pub in downtown Greensboro has closed after 24 years in business. In its farewell message, McCool's Public House thanked its employees and customers, but didn't give a reason for closing. And that's what's happening across the Carolinas.
Good morning, everyone. More clouds today. High temperatures only in the lower 40s, so not as warm as yesterday. Mostly cloudy afternoon. Overnight tonight, back down to the mid to the upper 20s. And then tomorrow, more of the lower 40s with overall an overcast day. Then comes the snow. It is now likely that we see at least 2 inches of snow through the course of your Saturday. So do what you can to stay safe. I'm meteorologist Chris Mulcahy with WCNC Charlotte.
Thanks for listening. You can find these stories and more at WCNC.com. And join the WCNC Charlotte team weekday mornings, 4:30 to 7 a.m. Like and subscribe to our podcast and tell a friend.